Welcome to the Motionographer Podcast. My name is Justin Cohn, and I'm your host for this, our first podcast ever, our maiden voyage into the land of podcasting, only about, 8 years after everybody else started doing it. Today we're going to be chatting about a short film that's currently doing really well on the festival circuit. It's called This Way Up, and it was directed by Smith and Folks, who you probably know from Motionographer. They're successful advertising directors with Nexus Productions in London. On the call today, we've got quite a few people. On the Motionographer side, you're going to hear my voice, Justin Cohn. You'll also hear the voice of Simon Robson. On the Nexus side, you're going to hear the voices of Alan Smith and Adam Folks, as well as Chris O'Reilly. Let's have everybody introduce themselves right now.
Simon Robson here, Motionographer author. I'm also, as you may know, Animation Director with Nexus Productions.
And it's Chris O'Reilly here. I'm an Executive Producer, co-founder of Nexus Productions, and was producer on This Way Up.
And I'm Alan Smith, one half of Smith & Folks. I won't tell which one. And I am one of the directors on the film.
And I'm Adam Folks, the other half of Smith & Folks.
Since This Way Up isn't available to internet audiences yet, can you give us a quick synopsis of the film?
Okay. It's a very simple story about two guys, a father and son, and we just wanted to write a little story where they have to complete a task, bury a body, because they're undertakers. A simple task, which they do every day, but this time it goes slightly wrong. This is just a story of how they deal with the circumstances around their worst day at the office.
So how did the idea to create a short film come about? Where did this whole project come from?
Well, we've been trying to do a short film for 12 years, is it now?
Something like that, yeah.
It's mostly our own fault because we kind of treat a lot of our commercial jobs like our own short films. We don't tell clients that. It just took us a while to get around to it. We have loads of different stories, but nothing ever really, you can never really agree on it, could we?
Well, we've been writing ideas for years as well. And it wasn't until the animation show came along and almost forced us into a situation of having to think of something for them and complete it in a certain time that we actually did get around to doing it.
So. Typical directors, they needed a deadline.
Yeah.
A kick up the arse, I think it's called.
But it came from the Platform Film Festival because we went out there for the we had some work entered and we also Alan had done the opening titles for the Platform Film Festival in the States, and it was actually while we were out there that and we did a talk as well whilst we were out there, and Mike Judge, who runs the animation show, was kind of enthusiastic about the fact that Adam Allen did kind of, their work was much more sort of optimistic and sort of enthusiastic and comedy, and he felt that a lot of the short films that they were getting sort of submitted were a bit, tended to be a little bit kind of more downbeat and stuff. And so he was quite keen when he had the opportunity to commission films to get people who were, you know, who might do something that had a kind of fun in it. So, and then obviously we came back with a film about two undertakers. So.
With that answer, you kind of strayed into my next question, which is that I hear that when you when Mike Judge approached you, Adam and Alan, he said he'd like you to make a film about anything as long as it wasn't about death. Is that true?
It is true. I think it kind of meant there are a lot of films that were dealing with fairly heavy issues about death. We didn't even really connect the two, that this was about death as well, because we just saw it as a straight comedy. But I guess it is about death. There's no denying it.
You can't get away from it, can you?
I think it's probably fairly obvious to Motionographer readers that you guys are fairly prominent ads directors. So what was the feeling stepping out to make this short?
Well, like I said, we've been trying to make something of our own for quite a long time, and it's just finding the time slot, really, because you do... I mean, we turned this around pretty quick. The actual intensive production was only really about four months on the film. But even so, finding 4 months and then the three months before that for the writing and development and all that kind of stuff is a chunk of time that you have to put aside.
I think it's quite an exciting time as well. Before then, we've just been talking about doing it and making ads that at the full, you know, about 60 seconds or 30 seconds. And just that, suddenly that opportunity opening of, you know, just taking a little bit longer to tell a story or describe other things. It was quite an exciting time there.
The chance to make a 5-minute film in 8.5 minutes was too good to pass up.
With a commercial project, you get a sort of concept that you may then work extensively on to kind of reshape. In a sense, we work quite closely with the agencies on kind of on writing the idea. But the I think with the when once it has to be your own idea, that suddenly becomes this really high bar. I think we got to a point where we thought that was kind of almost paralyzing, that we were just like, the idea just had to be so knockout. And we decided actually just to start with something simple and enjoy doing it, because that's kind of what we had done with all the other work. And it was actually quite nice with the animation show, because they needed something probably that was going to be shorter than a lot of the ideas that we'd been developing previously. And it made us focus on quite a sort of simple idea. And that's where I think, just the idea of two people trying to deliver something and it not happening was a very...
Gettable
idea, and we just thought, then once you start to embellish that, and you can start to enjoy the fun of a really simple thing. And so I think that it was very different process to commercial just initially, but once you sort of get it going, it
also exploring the two characters as well was quite a big step away from our commercial work.
Yeah, Chris, when you just said, it's funny, when you just said two characters trying to deliver something, it could almost be that the whole film's like an analogy to animation itself. Do you know what I mean? It's like trying to get something delivered.
Yeah, there's two blokes in the film in a car next to each other, staring at each other, not talking to each other. I don't know where these ideas came from.
Yeah, that's great, because it really nicely segues into my next question, which is, so Adam and Alan, tell us a little bit how you guys kind of work together as a team and how you approached, writing and directing this, just where duties split up between you and how all that works.
We've never really had separate roles, really. I think every time we get a script in or we want to develop an idea, we kind of... one of us sort of kickstarts it, the other takes it forwards. All kinds of different ways, really. There's no kind of
set
pattern that we work with. And I think we just went to the pub and got a bit drunk, didn't we, on this occasion? Sat in a beer garden and talked about death. I mean, there are some things that we do sort of focus on, Adam more focuses on characters because he's a better drawer for a start. And
just...
And I like to research more sort of background stuff. But I mean, I wouldn't really call them roles as such. It's just kind of like areas of responsibility.
For this film, we just thought some nice... each of us thought some nice scenarios and just discussed them and start...
if we made each other laugh, then
we start sort of patching it together like that. So.
And is that how you work in general as well, like on your commercial projects?
I think we've got a kind of reputation amongst clients for... being people who kind of take an idea quite a long way forward. Like, we do get some very rough concepts sometimes, and there is an expectation that we kind of like write in loads of funny ideas and visually develop those ideas. And
so this idea, for example, it wasn't just one of us who said, oh, it's about two undertakers delivering a body. It kind of started somewhere with removal men or something like that.
Yeah.
And over period of time,
period of an hour.
Yeah. It was actually over coffee. Yeah,
that's really interesting. So I mean, like, how far down the writing process did they become undertakers?
It was quite a long time when we were discussing it being this idea. Alan kept talking about this idea about two guys with a box, and that was like a
step on from our platform.
Yeah, we were kind of like wondering where that was going, and there was a whole bunch of other ideas, because we were obviously up a bit of a deadline to come up with the concept and to get it all together. And then I think...
Also, and then we didn't want to labour it either. We just wanted to bash something out and just go, that's what we're going to make.
Just explore two characters and the physical comedy side of it first.
And it was only really once the box became a coffin, and then suddenly it made sense that the guys were undertakers, and then suddenly you realise there was potential comedy in it.
We just wanted the box to be you know, as important as possible.
Yeah, to mean something. Yeah.
What box could carry, you know, the most precious cargo almost? You know, what could matter the most so they shouldn't lose or
damage it or disrespect it. It also is quite nice because it gave them quite a, the two protagonists in it. It gave them a distinct personality and a kind of style of acting, you know, like they had this thing where they need to kind of maintain a constant sense of decorum. And it excused the fact as well, they don't talk to each other. This is that way in which undertakers work, everything is unsaid. And that helped massively in terms of getting them filmed.
Obviously, we wrote a full dialogue, which was brilliant and hysterical, but we just couldn't use it.
Amazing witty gags. It excused the kind of silent comedy element of it.
We just wanted the fact that these guys, if they were going to do it, they're going to do it the right way, you know? That's their personality.
All right, so let me jot off on a tangent here really quick. You guys said the project took a total of about 7 months, 3 months for pre-production and 4 months for production. Were you juggling commercial projects at the same time?
At the beginning, we were doing some commercial projects, but just towards the end, everything kind of focused in and
we said no a lot.
We had to turn down a lot of work and concentrate on getting the film out the door.
I think when it came to like the final month or so, you know, we really wanted to concentrate on exactly the story we were telling, what was coming across, and seeing as
it's a bit late then.
Most of it wasn't even rendered until that final couple of weeks. Yeah.
I think there's quite a few animators and of our readers out there who are toying with the idea of getting a short off the ground, obviously. Part of that would be looking for funding. Obviously, the BBC were quite heavily involved in the funding of the film, it seems. Can you tell us a little bit about how you went about getting funding, how all that worked?
Yeah, we started with the approach from the animation show, that gave us our first part of funding. And then we actually, for us, this film was kind of as much an interesting exercise in kind of independent film funding and is in a sense a kind of model for what we might look to do with longer format projects. So through our production office in Paris, we managed to get funding from Arcady, and then the BBC came in through three of their kind of potential arms, through BBC Film, BBC Film Network, which is their online arm. And through BBC Comedy, and actually that was a really fantastic partner to get involved, because I think there's a growing sort of understanding really that there is a sort of opportunity to develop animation for for independent audiences. That I think that everyone has looked at now, you know, that animation can at feature length can be for a much wider variety of audiences than what previously maybe Animation Fair was traditionally served up as. So the BBC's involvement was kind of exciting. I think that's the first time the BBC Film had been involved in animation, because previously most other animation stuff has come from either the old animation unit or through BBC Comedy. So it was great that BBC Film got involved.
Did you find yourselves having to pitch every single stage in the process, you know, like, did you sort of cobble together a kind of package that, you know, whenever anyone else who was interested, say another person, the BBC came to you, you then had to go through this again?
It had a momentum of its own by that stage. We were going into production and with the animation show already, and we had certain parts and pieces involved, and BBC kind of got involved after they could see some stuff and that we were working on it.
We already had an animatic at that point.
Yeah, just there was enough for them to kind of see where we were going with it, and we still obviously had to pitch it to them, but it was by this stage there was enough for everybody to see that they either wanted to be part of it or not. It wasn't a kind of cold, you know, a cold call and a start from scratch and here's this idea and there's these two undertakers. See, we didn't have to do that blurb.
I think it kind of helps if someone's already got involved with some funding. It kind of, you know, someone already believes in it and, like you say, it's got some momentum already. It kind of helps with other funding.
And you've heard us describe the film. No one would have funded it if we had.
Okay, I just want to kind of go back and talk about a couple of things that kind of intrinsically are in the film. One thing that that I really like that's in there is this kind of the way you set up your jokes and you always kind of tend to play on the unexpected. I mean, one of my favorite scenes at the beginning when you have the whole kind of sequence of events with the petal from the roses knocking over the picture frames that knock over the plates and so on. And it's just a little moment when the plates are all knocking each other over on a mantelpiece and they bang into a vase and you think that's going to get knocked over. But then the little whiskey bottle comes out from behind the vase, which says so much about the character of the deceased. And it seems that a lot of your jokes, not just in this, but also kind of in your commercials too, wrong foot the audience and keep them on their toes. Is that something that you put a lot of time into consciously doing, kind of going for the unexpected punchline?
I think that particular sequence of the film was very important for us because that was our only opportunity to kind of give the old lady a bit of background as a character who you might actually care about, you know, the fact that she loved her cats and she loved the old drop of whiskey, you know, is kind of telling you, and the, you know, the furry slippers and stuff. It just gives you a sort of bit of background about her, so she's not just a corpse. So that, I mean, everyone's seen the domino effect many times in films, but you know, we're not saying we're the first to do that, but we just wanted to incorporate or use that structure to kind of illustrate her personality. So that's what all that was about. Wrong footing. it's more fun to.
Yeah.
Again, one of us will come up with an idea like that, and if the other one laughs, then it's in pretty much. I mean, that's the benefit of having the two of us.
It's also nice to make people slightly feel comfortable with something and then just throw a little curveball. So you kind of establish that the domino top of things happening, and then
I think with something like that as well, there is a kind of obvious way of doing it as well.
Because you feel like you've seen it before, yeah.
And it was nice to kind of just almost be a bit silly with it. You know, the fact that it's like a drop, big things crashed into each other, and then it goes back down to like a drop of water, but that almost immediately causes an enormous boulder to fall over. Is kind of what we were playing with. It's finding the rhythm of all of that working.
There's one thing which has really been kind of a point of contention here in the studio over in Australia between me and Darren is we've both got completely different ideas of what the end of the film means and reading too much into it. But just for the readers, I'll just quickly give a bit of a synopsis of what happens at the end is that our two undertakers, having taken a journey to the underworld to retrieve the old lady who's died and has been carried off to the underworld before they've buried her, they go into the underworld to get her back, bring her back to the surface, and then bury her in their own way. And then at the end, both undertakers decide that they'll jump into the grave, and that's the end of the film. So I kind of like, I don't know, I saw this as, from my point of view, as something where like they'd had such a good time down in Hades, wherever it is, that they decided to go back. And I don't know if I'm like, you know, they'd seen the brighter side of death almost, you know, like death for them to that point had been this really boring job and this boring existence. And they'd gone down to Hades and seen this New Orleans style funeral and how cool it all was. But Darren kind of thinks I'm completely off my head when I'm saying that and just thinks that it was a kind of like they'd had a hard day and that was that kind of thing.
We've all had those, haven't we? I've seen Darren have a few of those. I've had to give him a few hugs.
Yeah, I have to give him a few hugs.
I mean, with the ending, they obviously, the idea was that they're dead. Because they get hit by the boulder.
Right. Oh, so they're still dead, even though they
I know, because everyone in the underworld world is up and around on their feet.
This is like the point of, like, they go to like such lengths to make sure the job's done. Not only do they meet their maker themselves, but
they fight their way out.
They find their way back out to make sure that she's put in the right place, and then they have to go back to
the home. The son has kind of redeemed himself in in the father's eyes as well.
It was basically what we wanted to do was the little story that we kind of wanted to thread through was the idea that the father and the son have, that they're not like perfectly in sync on stuff. You know, that basically the son finds his father a little bit too by the book, and son is kind of like, not quite so bothered about getting this job done. And it's father who kind of drives it, and son's always looking for shortcuts, which is what gets him into trouble. And there's a slight sort of tension between father and son, and we wanted that to kind of be worked out across the length of the film. And at the end, where they kind of jumping in together, it's kind of like it's also, I guess, a part of that is just to feel that they've kind of they bonded through this experience, and it was just showing that as well, I think.
I'm curious about your plans for the film. I believe it's on the festival circuit now, and I'm wondering if it's going to be online for audiences to see at some point in the future.
It's starting to do the circuit now. It's basically on. It's been showing at festivals through the animation show, so it's done a US tour, which is continuing, I think. And if you look at the animation show website, there's some details on that. It's got a UK premiere scheduled for early October, which details will be on our blog as soon as that's official, and we'll let the Motionographer know, of course. And the BBC have the online rights to the film, so it will be on the BBC Film Network, I think towards the end of the year, and we'll keep people posted on that too. But yeah, it's got a little festival run first of all, so we're looking forward. It's been selected for Ottawa, and it's had a nice little run. It's picked up a few awards too, so that's fine. So that's great.
Good stuff. And I guess the final question to finish on, unless Justin, obviously, you want to drop any unscripted questions in after this, but it's an ambitious short film. In its execution and also in its length, you know, 8.5 minutes, and kind of logically seems like a precursor to perhaps making a feature. What feelings do you have about that?
It's definitely something that we're aiming at, and it was, I mean, we were definitely doing the short for the sake of doing the short, it's not meant to be a kind of trailer to a film.
Yeah.
I mean, we've worked. I mean, Adam and I have done longer format stuff before, things like Monkey Dust and that we've got. And the studio has done sort of longer format stuff, and it's something that we're working towards, and it's something we'd love to do.
We were still writing kind of feature ideas while doing this as well.
At one point we were like, some of the ideas that we were thinking about were kind of shorter forms of longer format ideas, and that seemed like a one way to go about it, but we actually decided just to have a completely different, you know, its own script and its own thing for this project. But it's it feels like a really encouraging time, really, to be looking at doing sort of feature films that are maybe not for, you know, that have a kind of more independent edge to it. And it was something that we've been talking about for a long time, but there's actually been maybe not quite the market for it. And it feels that recent sort of film successes, have helped pave the way to start to make that more possible. And, that makes, I think, a really exciting time for the animation industry. I think there's going to be some possibilities of, you know, some really interesting, much more sort of independent feeling content in feature films.
Thank you guys so much for talking with us today, and we wish you the best of luck. We'll keep our eye out for This Way Up online.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Good stuff.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Well, that wraps up our first episode. Thanks very much for joining us. I'd also like to thank Bicoastal Music Collective Humma Humma for providing the music for this episode and for future episodes. You're listening to a track called Floor to Forehead. I'm going to let it play out for a bit, and I'll see you next time. Thanks.
About most I don't think about it.
Do you ever?
No.
Now that I put the question to you.
I used to. When I was younger and I started this business, I went out with a fellow and he committed an abnormal act with me. And I said, he told me he was only married a year. He was a nice little fellow, curly hair, blue eyes. And I said, how can you say that you love your wife and you do that to me and then go home and make love to her? And I never seen the man after that. I lost him because I was honest with him. But later on, I found out why.
Why?
Why? Because he couldn't do that to his wife.